A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 17. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are continuing our discussion of Day of the Triffids, the 1981 BBC TV miniseries based on the classic John Wyndham novel from 1951.
This is Eamon from England.
And this is Brian from Canada. John Wyndham was actually born with the full name John Wyndham Parks Lucas Bainan Harris, which is quite impressive as a name, isn't it? He was born in Knowle in Warwickshire, England in 1903. His parents divorced when he was 8, and from then he moved from one boarding school to another and had generally unhappy period in his childhood there. After which, when he was about 18, he went out to try all sorts of things. He tried farming, he tried going into law, he tried going into commercial art and advertising and all these different things. And then finally in 1925, he started writing, and he continued writing for a long time. It basically was part of his life for the rest of his life, and wrote a variety of things. And he wrote his first novel in 1951, and that was Day of the Triffids. And when he did that, he specifically changed his style. He decided to change his writing style to do this. And in part, apparently, he was inspired by his brother, Vivian Bainan Harris, who was also a writer. And his brother had written 4 novels when John Wyndham decided to write his first. And his new style apparently worked because he became a well-known novelist based on that. He also eventually, later in life, married Grace Wilson in 1963. And he died in 1969 at the age of 66.
I think the other person who influenced his writing style in the 50s was H.G. Wells, because he was a big fan of H.G. Wells' writing. And I think, as well as looking to his own brother for inspiration when he changed his writing style, he looked to the works of H.G. Wells. I mean, quite clearly, there's a similarity between The War of the Worlds and the Day of the Triffids novel, which, as you said, came out in 1951. I think it had previously been serialized in a slightly shortened form in an American magazine where it was called Revolt of the Triffids. And I think he'd taken some of the ideas from an earlier short story he wrote, which was published quite a lot earlier, about hostile plants. But, you know, he changed those ideas and brought it into Day of the Triffids. And that came out in 1951. And it sort of started a very prolific decade for him. Over the next 10 years, he brought out some absolute classic science fiction novels. There was The Kraken Wakes, which came out in 1953. And that deals with strange sort of mysterious goings-on in the oceans and whether or not there's been strange creatures or something that's landed in the ocean. So that's very mysterious and interesting one. And then 2 years later, The Chrysalids in 1955, where he's back to post-apocalyptic writing about a colony that survived some sort of disaster. And then there's all sorts of strange events with some form of mutant humans coming out. It's a real watch for the mutant book. And I think that phrase is actually used, that, you know, the colonies are instructed to watch for the mutant. And then again, 2 years later, The Midwich Cuckoos, 1957, famously filmed, the one with the mysterious blonde-haired kids with golden eyes who all appear, are all born in this English village at the same time, and the mystery of what's going on with those children. So quite remarkable. Day of the Triffids, and then, you know, for the next sort of 10 years, every 2 years, he was bringing out a classic of science fiction.
He really was a classic science fiction writer. If you haven't read any of John Wyndham's work, it really is worth checking out.
There's a couple of other works in the late 50s. The Outward Urge, which I think is more a collection of stories. And there's also The Trouble with Lichen, which came out in 1960, which is about the development of a drug that stops or reverses aging and the consequences of that. He brought out a novel in 1968 called Chocky, which was also filmed for television, about a boy who has a mysterious, supposedly imaginary friend, which causes his parents and teachers various amounts of concern. But as the novel develops, we begin to realize that this friend may not be all that imaginary. So that was quite a good one as well. He's, as you say, he's worth reading. It's fantastic stuff he was coming up with.
We must be part of a community to have any hope for the future at all. For the moment, we've got all we need, food, supplies, everything. But the food will go bad. The metal will rust. The petrol to drive the machines will run out. Before that happens, we have to learn to plow, and learn to make plows, and learn to smelt the iron to make the plowshares. We must learn to make good all that we wear out. If not, we say goodbye to civilization and we slide right back into savagery. All the knowledge is there, in books, if only we take the time to learn. Time, you see. Time. We must be part of a community that's large enough for some people to be free from productive work, to have time to study and experiment and teach the kids, to prepare for the day when what we have is gone.
What did you do before all this happened?
I taught history very badly.
We should talk about the production of the BBC TV series in 1981 and the look and sound and feel of it. And of course, one of the things we've got to talk about is the actual Triffids themselves, because they were a big part of the TV show. As we said in the last episode, the Triffids are supposed to be these 8-foot-tall, mobile killer plants with a lethal sting. And they actually had to make the plants out of a combination of latex and fiberglass and various degrees of movie and TV slime and gunge. And it was all operated by a man hidden in the base of the plant, on some sort of go-kart chassis or go-kart seat, I gather, he was sitting on in there operating the thing. And they had to put a fan in to keep him cool because the whole thing was hot. And they had these radio-controlled root stumps that made the clacking noise on the outside of the plant. They didn't do too bad a job, really, because they do look quite impressive. And certainly the sound effect that went with them of this sort of knocking sound was quite eerie and impressive.
Yeah, they do look a little dated sometimes, especially in close-up. But yeah, they're imposing and they work quite well. They fill the role they should fill in the story quite well. And especially in the long shots where you see them towering in the distance or towering in the middle distance, they're imposing and work quite well.
They sort of took a look from, I think, real plants. They look like real carnivorous plants in nature. They look a bit like the pitcher plant, which catches insects. Except, you know, on an 8-foot scale in the case of the Triffids.
A very big pitcher plant.
A very big pitcher plant, yes, that can come down the street after you. If they remade The Day of the Triffids now on television, of course, they would. I'm sure they would probably do it with CGI, which I'm not sure would work terribly well. I mean, one of my slight problems with the new Doctor Who is the amount of CGI they use. And the problem I find with CGI, I don't know what you think, Brian, but what I find is CGI has to be very good CGI in order for it to work.
I think if they were going to do a new version of Day of the Triffids, they would have to be very well done to work well.
I suppose what they would be able to do now with CGI was they'd be able to have many more Triffids, because later on in the series, they are supposed to encounter more and more Triffids.
They couldn't show thousands of Triffids crowding up against a fence as they've described in the book.
When they only had 8.
Right. Another strong feature of the early part of Day of the Triffids is deserted London. Everyone in London who is blind is away hiding indoors because they don't know what to do, or they're starting to come out and they're stumbling around and they still don't know what to do, don't know where they're going. It was something that they made look quite good and work quite well. They had these apparently deserted, empty views of London, you know, using some model work and matte painting work and that sort of thing. And it made it come across with a sense of intensity that they were going for that worked pretty well.
But it does make the place look deserted.
The combination of the deserted streets with the people who are blind was a pretty powerful one. And it made for things that were very intense, where to the blind people, hearing the sound of a car or feeling that there was a car that had just been driven was a call to find the person who could see and get a hold of this person so they could help you and do things that involve sight. It was something that was very intense and very base in its motivations that was brought across that worked very well.
And we we just love to see those scenes of empty cities, don't we? They're quite eerie and spooky, and they worked quite well in this series, and we've seen them more recently. You know, we've seen deserted New York in I Am Legend, and we've seen deserted London again in 28 Days Later. And I think watching this BBC series from the 80s, it's quite clear that Danny Boyle, who directed 28 Days Later, must have seen this at some point.
And there's a sense not only of it being scary for Bill and Joe and for us taking their point of view, but also the sheer terror that all these people are experiencing of suddenly being blind, and not just being blind alone, but having everyone be blind.
And it's spooky stuff again. As you say, there's the scene where Bill and Joe are driving through the deserted streets of London in a car, and then the car gets stuck near a crowd of blind people who, as you say, they've heard the car and they know there must be somebody who can see. And they are sort of crowding around the car, and Bill and Joe are trapped inside. It's scary stuff. It's, you know, there's quite a sense of threat and claustrophobia going on with them trapped inside the car while people press against the glass windows. This is quite a scary show. There's some very memorable scenes in there. It was thought to be quite scary at the time, and has more recently shown up in TV polls about memorably scary shows. There was also, to contribute to the sort of mood and the atmosphere, they got a composer called Christopher Gunnin to write an original piece, a choral piece for the theme music, which I think is quite of its time. To me, it sounds like a late 1970s, early 1980s, very sort of modernistic choral work. When they combine that with the opening credits showing people's faces bathed in the green light of the meteor shower, and then Triffid stings lashing out and striking them in the eyes, it was, again, it was quite memorable. Christopher Gunnin, who wrote the music, has done loads of TV music. I think, you know, the piece he's probably famous for here in Britain is the theme to the Poirot show. But I gather from his website that he's recently won a BAFTA, the British Academy Award, for his music for the Edith Piaf film, La Vie en Rose, which has done very well in the Oscars and the BAFTAs recently. Do you like the choral piece that he did for Day of the Triffids, Brian?
I do like it. I think it worked very well in the setting, and on its own, it's a very well-written piece and is quite good. It's highly dissonant and reminds me of composers like John Tavener and the like. The incidental music throughout is also quite effective in enhancing this sense of terror and the other things that show up in the series.
Now, we're talking about the 1981 TV series, Day of the Triffids, but of course there's been several other versions of the book done in different media. Not long after the book came out, it was, I think for the first time, it was read on British radio, and it's had several just straightforward readings as a sort of book of the week on BBC radio.
It's also been dramatized for radio a few times. It was dramatized in 1957 on the BBC, and it was dramatized again on the radio in 1968. The 1968 radio version is actually quite good, and it's arguable whether it's closer to the book than the TV series is or not. In some respects it is, in some respects it isn't. It featured Gary Watson and Barbara Shelley in the leads. I felt that the performances in that were not quite as strong as they were in the TV version, but one thing that was kind of fun, it featured Peter Sallis as Coker, and he, of course, went on many years later to be the voice of Wallace in Wallace and Gromit. And additionally, it was also, again in 1968, dramatized in translation for German radio.
Oh, right.
I haven't listened to the German one.
No, me neither. There was also a big screen movie in 1962 with Howard Keel in the main role as Bill Mason. So the good thing to say about this movie is it is in the public domain, and if you want to, you can actually find it on Google Video and watch it. And that's pretty much the only good thing to say about the movie. We've said previously that the TV series and the book is not a monster story. It's not really about the Triffids. It's about whatever everything else that's happening. But the movie version was very definitely just a straightforward, very quickly produced Hollywood monster movie.
The monster movie of the week.
It was, yes. They changed the plot. And they made the Triffids come from space along with the meteorite. And the monster, the Triffids themselves are quite ridiculously, obviously, a man in a suit with lots of rubber tentacles lashing around and lots of women screaming. It crops up in sci-fi trivia because there's a line in the song that begins the Rocky Horror Picture Show about Jeanette Scott and the Day of the Triffids, which is taken from this film version. And for British Invaders fans, it also features Carol Ann Ford playing the part of a blind French girl. And, of course, a couple of years later, Carol Ann Ford would go on to play Susan, the Doctor's granddaughter, in the first series of Doctor Who. But apart from that, there's not really much to recommend the film for. It takes major liberties with the plot, and you're far better sticking with John Wyndham's original or this 1981 TV version.
There was also another novel that was written as a sequel to Day of the Triffids. It was called The Night of the Triffids. It was written by Simon Clark, published in 2001. It was set 25 years later and involved a number of the same characters. I haven't read the book, but apparently Simon Clark emulated Wyndham's style of writing quite well at the beginning, and then through the course of it, particularly in the second half, it diverges more to a different style and a different type of story. There were a number of critics who quite liked it and a number who were rather disappointed with it.
It features Bill Mason's son as the lead character, doesn't it?
I think so.
How many do you think will decide to join?
Nearly all of them when they thought it over.
Some of the women didn't like the sex angle.
They'll come round to it. After all, what's the choice? To have babies and a community to look after you, or no babies and no one to look after you? Most women want babies. Husband's just a logical means to an end.
So what do you think the arrangements would be?
Well, they said they're taking some women who can't see. So I think it'll be something like every man who marries or lives with a girl who can see is also take on one or two blind girls as well.
That makes sense, I suppose.
Yeah.
If I've got to have three wives, you'll be one.
On one condition.
What?
I pick the other two.
So what did you think of it as an adaptation of the book? What did you think it worked well?
It was very faithful to the novel. There were a few things that were left out, but there was very little that was actually changed. The few things that were changed were very minor, and the things that were left out were not really essential. It really got the heart of the book, it got the ideas, it included some things that I did not expect them to include from the book. In particular, there was one sequence where Bill Mason was considering leaving this group of blind people and basically leaving them in the lurch. In order to convince Bill Mason to stay, this girl in her upper teens basically offers herself to him. And this was something that I wasn't expecting this early 80s version to carry through, but they did include that scene, and they did it quite accurately.
That scene, and many others in the series, they dealt with some difficult stuff from the book. They kept it in there. As you say, there's some uncomfortable moments. The moment when the character of Joe, as you said, is captured by this man who wants her to be his sighted guide. The moment with Bill and this very young woman who's trying to persuade him to stay. And the discussion about the future roles of the sexes in the Beadley group. There's some difficult stuff they dealt with, and it's very interesting.
There was a strong sense of tension that I thought was really good. It really gave you that sense that things were very wrong here, and people were struggling with it, and people were scared. There was a sense of nervous tension that was almost always there. We have an interesting comparison here. Having read the book The Day of the Triffids and listened to the 1968 radio series and watched the TV version, I personally enjoyed all three versions. I think they were all well done. I think both the radio version and the TV version captured the sense of it quite well. The sense of tension and many of the moments were captured somewhat better in the TV version, and the characters I liked much better in the TV version. On the plus side for the radio version, it included many of the story points and scenes and sequences that were dropped in the TV version. And one thing in particular that the radio version did well that was a little bit missing in the TV version was the idea of suicides. In the book, when everyone was blinded, people started committing suicide in large numbers. They addressed this a lot in the book, that not being able to see, no one else around being able to see, people started taking their own lives. they carried through on a lot of that in the radio version and not quite as much in the TV version.
There's characters in the TV version who, as you say, in the book commit suicide, and in the TV version what happens to them is sort of left slightly more open, that it might have been an accident because of their blindness. So that does, as you say, stand out slightly.
I think that issue of the suicides is the only thing that I really felt was missing from the book in the TV series.
I've enjoyed all of them. I think the book's fantastic. I think if I was to pick, I would say I enjoyed the TV series slightly more.
It is, of course, fairly common to have these post-apocalyptic stories that look at what people do once most of society has died off, or in this case, most of society has gone blind, and many of them are dying off because of that. One comparison that occurred to me actually when I was reading the book, and also with the TV version, was another British science fiction series called Survivors, which was a BBC series created by Terry Nation, who also created The Daleks and Blake 7, and it aired in 1975 to 1977, and they're actually talking about doing a new remake version of that. The Survivors was a little different in that, in that story, most of society died due to a mysterious disease. Both The Day of the Triffids and The Survivors looked at people coming together and reconstructing something of their lives, reconstructing some kind of society based on what they can do now and what's left. And there were some definite similarities there, although the two were different. Of course, The Survivors, running for a few years, had much more time to look at a transition from people newly in a situation of not having society there to people who haven't had society there for years, and this slow transition of things changing over time and relationships forging and that sort of thing. And that was something nice in that series that was not as much part of Day of the Triffids. And where The Survivors dealt with a lot of sort of how do we set up society and set up a little commune to make it work and that sort of thing, The Day of the Triffids was a little more broadly sweeping and dealt with the philosophy of how do we want the world to work.
I mean, certainly Survivors is the other famous example of post-apocalyptic science fiction on British TV. And as you say, it's got a very good reputation. It was very popular in the mid-70s. And of course, it's got one of the great names of British science fiction, as you've said, Terry Nation, attached to it. One of the slight differences is that it was three quite long series. It ran for quite a while. So in terms of investment, it's quite an effort to catch up with all of the Survivors, whereas Day of the Triffids, 6 half-hour episodes. So if you're looking for one to perhaps begin with, Day of the Triffids is fairly easy, I think, to get into and to get hold of.
The availability of Day of the Triffids is actually quite good. It's available on DVD in both Region 1 and Region 2, and it's a simple one-disc DVD with no special features, but it isn't that expensive, and it's quite easy to find.
So our recommendations for Day of the Triffids, as we've said, it's got lots of interesting ideas, it's got good performances, it's got the Triffids themselves, although, as we've said, they're more of a secondary feature of the story. I think it's a very enjoyable watch. It's eerie, it's scary, and it's clearly quite influential. So I personally would recommend it.
It is definitely well worth watching. The characters and the acting are good. And if you like looking at different ideas and this sort of classic golden age science fiction, it really brings that out well without seeming that dated. It's a great compromise between a more current sort of modern style drama incorporating these great ideas and these great science fiction stylistic elements that were so popular and so well developed in the 1950s. So this is definitely a strong recommendation from me. In summary, Day of the Triffids was a 1981 6-episode miniseries that was an adaptation of John Wyndham's post-apocalyptic novel of the same name. It dealt with mass blindness bringing down society. It dealt with philosophy and different points of view and approaches to how people should rebuild society. And it had the Triffids as this great complication to the story.
Really cool killer plants.
Absolutely. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and at www.britishinvaders.com. I think this wraps up our discussion of the Day of the Triffids for these two episodes of British Invaders.
In our next episode, we'll be discussing Jekyll, which was a 2007 BBC updating the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde legend.
And this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Until then, this is Eamon from England, signing off.